So now you have Instagram realizing that they need to make changes. You've got Facebook realizing they need to make changes. And effectively, the changes that they're looking at, because TikTok is not a social network, it's an algorithmic recommendation engine. So if Facebook and Instagram actually abandon the social graph in favor of an algorithm, then email beat social media, because it will persist while social media technically is changing into something else. Welcome to Seven Figure Small, the podcast that adds to your playbook of strategies and tactics to attract an audience and build your business, all without investors or employees. I'm your host, serial digital entrepreneur Brian Clark. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
So I have a question. Here's the burning question. I'm curious, whatever happened to all those people that were like, email is dead, long live social media, now?
You know, that is an excellent point, because we knew, lots of people knew, even though it wasn't the prevailing wisdom, that social was never going to kill email, because email just runs circle around social when it comes to conversion. Basically, if you're selling anything, email is your channel. But the irony that we're seeing right now with all this drama that's been caused by TikTok and how popular it is and how much better it is at keeping the attention of, you know, if you've ever watched your kids on TikTok, it's frightening. So now you have Instagram realizing that they need to make changes. You've got Facebook realizing they need to make changes. And effectively, the changes that they're looking at, because TikTok is not a social network, it's an algorithmic recommendation engine. So if Facebook and Instagram actually abandon the social graph in favor of an algorithm, then email beat social media, because it will persist while social media technically is changing into something else.
Yeah, you know, that this whole brouhaha over, you know, people getting mad at Instagram because they're trying to be like TikTok and influencers losing their minds and going crazy. I think it's hilarious. It's like, get a list. You know what I mean? Just get a list, people, not your followers. Even the word followers is like, that's, there's no connection there. You know, that's what I think email does better, is fosters like actual relationship. It's relationship marketing.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure you're referring to the Kardashians, who are huge on Instagram and are making a huge fuss about any proposed changes to a more algorithmic-driven discovery engine, because they're celebrities. I mean, they're famous for nothing often, but they do have the power of celebrity, and that's a very old school concept of why we pay attention to people, why we follow people. And so they have heavily invested in their social channels because celebrity works that way. Sure, it's shallow often and, you know, sad, but that's our culture. And you're not going to do anything railing against that. But they do see a threat to their dominance and to their celebrity when their celebrity no longer gives them the most influence, because an algorithmic driven recommendation, you know, media platform like TikTok, it doesn't care who you are or how famous you are. What it cares about is, did you make the content that people want? Now, theoretically, that's how it should work, right? It shouldn't be that the rich get richer, the highly followed get more highly followed. It does work that way with email, as we'll touch on in a little bit. So that's interesting. But, you know, theoretically, back in the early days of social media, when Copyblogger was just getting started, you know, we would have what would be considered boring ass business content or post about grammar or something that would go viral all the time. And that doesn't happen anymore, but it was more egalitarian back then. Now, the platforms are not only pay to play, but they're heavily impacted by celebrity aspects, whether that be an early internet celebrity, or, you know, a film or television celebrity, what have you, or a manufactured famous for nothing person, like whichever of the Miss Kardashians you would like to refer to.
So you're basically saying we don't have to make our own sex tapes right now to succeed at marketing. Is that what you're saying, Brian?
Well, you know, I mean, it was just so interesting that how well she followed the Paris Hilton playbook, you know, a totally different playbook than we're talking about here at Unemployable. Right. But yeah, it was amazing. She just, you know, that was like Mad Libs or Connect the Dots. It was just, oh, this works, so I'll do it. It's interesting to me that Paris Hilton swears she didn't do it on purpose. But I don't, if Kim says that, I don't believe that for a second.
No. Yeah. No.
But yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because when I read this article, it's called The End of Social Media and the Rise of Recommendation Media. We'll have to see if this shakes out. But from what I'm hearing in multiple levels, Instagram's going to go forward with this. Facebook's going to go forward with it. Maybe they don't eliminate the social graph, but it definitely becomes diminished. So at what point is a social media platform no longer a social media platform? When does it become an algorithmic platform, which is what Google is, what YouTube is, and what TikTok is, for better or worse?
Yeah, it's not social anymore. I mean, I know the feeds that I'm on, Instagram in particular. I'm just being fed ads all day long. And guess what? I don't go on very much. Because I'm not seeing my friend's stuff. You know, it's not being fed to me anymore. So that's
that's like the
seller's marketer's worst nightmare, right?
They're in a tight spot because what got them where they're at isn't working as well as this new upstart TikTok. And yet if they abandon what got them to the point that they're at, then why would anyone stick around? You know, I mean, I don't think people... I don't know. I didn't think anyone over the age of 25 would use TikTok, and apparently that's not true.
That's not true.
You know, I tried. It just, I learned that jiggle jiggle dance. That was all I got out of it. And then I had to delete the app because the CCP was spying on me, obviously.
I mean, clearly that's really what's happening. So, okay. So here's my next question then. Like, email feels a little old-timey, you know, a little out of date-ish. Like, does it really still work so well? I don't want
to
be...
Oh, come on. You know the answer to this,
Trudy. I do know the answer to the setup.
You literally edit an email newsletter.
That's right.
But no, it's worth exploring. But here's something that I think may be interesting on the celebrity Kardashian what have you front is... You know, celebrity thrives on that follower relationship or if in our parlance, email subscriber. And we have the most, as you pointed out, the most direct relationship with our audiences by email because we control the asset, right? It's not someone else's platform. There's no algorithm involved. It's just you want to hear from me. Then you stay subscribed and you open my emails and you read them. And so what if these changes that may seem to be happening at, there was a really long piece. I wish I could link to it. It's in The Information, which is a paid service. So I can't link to that unless you're also a subscriber of it. But it went deep on Instagram's doing this, right? It's going to happen. So what do the high follower, high celebrity, high traditional relationship with their fans type person do? Start an email list. Now that would not only work, but that would be the ultimate irony of this whole social's going to kill email because email's outlasting social if the social graph really does go the way of the dinosaur. So that would make me somewhat happy. Although, you know, do we want other people clogging up people's inboxes with their fluffy stuff? You know, hey, I'm perfectly fine for those people to just go away and we'll keep doing email.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like those
like we've been doing the entire time.
Those types that, you know, when it's really just about the money grab, you know, they're going to go to a paid service like a Substack. And then that has its own set of stuff with it. that's not working out so well either. So I feel like, you know, the real marketers, the people that really know their biz and they want to be connected to their audience, aren't just going to be about the shyster move. You know, they're not just going to be about, you know.
Well, there was another interesting article by at Vox about what they, the headline reads, "The newsletter boom is over. What's next?" But if you read the article, it's no, it's the Substack boom is over. People have realized, I mean, Substack has no reason to exist in my mind. And yet this happens all the time. Silicon Valley puts out some new platform that's so revolutionary. No, it's an email service provider. It's free. They have a bad business model that encourages any smart creator to start on Substack. And if you do happen to do the paid newsletter model, which is really all they offer, as soon as you start making enough money where that 10% they're taking is more than it costs to go to ConvertKit, then you go to ConvertKit, right? Now, they did recently apparently add some discovery function, which I think is the one thing that I said that if Substack could do that, that's important because everyone needs to get subscribers. But you have to look at how Substack started. So they've got this, in my mind, kind of a weak business model that is ripe for bait and switch, which always happens. They aggregate all the users, then they change the model, and then you're sitting there with that look on your face like, what? What happened? You know, but how did you not see that coming? You know, did you critically evaluate this thing at all? And they also had some fairly dubious marketing practices. They basically paid journalists who already had audiences, this is the key component, to come over to Substack. And some of these people actually would have made more if Substack hadn't have paid them, right?
Right.
Even by paying the 10%. So that turned out to be a raw deal. But it created the perception that anyone can come over there and make a really good living because Substack. But it's not because Substack, it's because email.
Right.
Without, you know, and you have to build the audience one way or another. And then I guess a lot of people said, well, if so-and-so can do this, who they don't take into account, this person already had a following and that following went over there. And I'm sure Substack did other things to help them as well, because the more these people, these were their case studies effectively, but they're not reality-based case studies. The average person going into Substack has no more advantage than anyone else on any email service provider. Now, the one thing Substack gets right is it's email, but that doesn't mean you have to use it. If you want to use Substack because it's free for now and you can still import your list and you can take your content and all that, go for it. But I considered using Substack just to say I gave it a shot for a new project. But then when you realize you can't do segmentation, you can't tag, there's no automation. It's not even close to world-class true email software. What it is a decent little blogging platform with email and podcasting attached to it. And it's the ease of publishing. It's the Medium thing all over. You see what happened to Medium, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't work out too well. Never does. Doesn't work out well for the users. And in Medium's case, it didn't even work out well for the founder. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I think that was a great way to segue into, okay, email is the thing. And for marketers like us, it's always been superior to social media. Social media only exists to goof off, like I do on Twitter, and to drive people to your list.
Is that what you do, Brian? That's
well, I don't know if you you haven't been paying attention. If you think that
I have been paying a lot of attention.
Being serious,
slagging off sounds about right.
Slagging I mean, when off. I post the further stuff and stuff from Unemployable, that's about as serious as I get.
Yes. Yeah.
I just don't take it seriously at all. I just, you know, I don't know. And you got people selling $700 courses on how to get more Twitter followers. And I'm like, why? What's the business objective? The sales copy never even had an express business point. And then you get all these followers and you move them over here. No, there's some question mark, like the old joke, you know, buy this course, get more Twitter followers, question mark, profit. There's a big question mark in there. And I don't think people, again, our audience is much smarter than this. I don't need to preach to the choir here, but there are just some people out there who have not thought things through, or they're just so unsophisticated that they don't even know what questions to ask. And hey, if that's you out there listening to this, we're here to help. We're not making fun of you. But if you don't grasp these things like email, you know, like every dollar you spend on email returns you 42 in return, it's 40 times more likely to result in a conversion than social media. You're 6 times more likely to get a click in an email than you are in a tweet or a Facebook post, right? That's not why people are there. That's why it doesn't work as well. But people, the data is showing that since the pandemic, email engagement has gone up. It's far from a dying medium. And it's also the medium that people say, yes, I like to be made aware of offers and deals and specials, and I like to buy through email. That's at the business to business and the consumer level. So I know we've been saying this for as long as people have been saying email is going to die. We've been saying no. And fortunately, we've been right. But I almost didn't expect that email would gain more momentum over the last 5 years than it had even before. And that's just a testament to an open, you know, technology that's not owned by anyone. Sure, there are email marketing companies, but hey, don't forget, you can set up a listserv on your own server to this day. And you truly do own everything. But all I say is use ConvertKit, use Drip, use MailChimp, whatever. Just download your email list once a week.
Yes.
Based on recent experiences, I back up everything religiously now, including email lists. Now, of course, someone like ConvertKit has redundancies built in, but then again, so did our last host. So yeah. Anything can happen in my mind at this point. So we always need to keep that first and foremost in our mind. But that list downloaded just to your desktop is your most valuable business asset. In fact, during my weekly backup ritual, I do the email list first, because if something was going to go at that moment, give me the list. You can have the site. I'll rebuild the site.
Really good advice.
Mm-hmm. Jared, you're awful quiet over there. What do you got? You're just shaking your head up and down, but people can't see you. So you might have to chime in.
You know, it was funny. You're talking about email. You and I started working together, I think, in 2013. And yeah, I remember having some of these very same conversations, and you'd already been having them for like a decade prior about email. And it, you know, it is interesting because you see all these shiny new things have come along, right? And you always hear this email is going to die thing. And I think at this point we can assume like that's just a silly thing to say or think. Email is going to evolve. You know, like email is the one thing that everybody has. Not everybody has Twitter. Not everybody has TikTok or Instagram. We all have email. And so it's going to stay, and it will evolve to keep up with whatever it needs to. But I mean, that line of thinking needs to die. And I think with most of the people listening to this, it has. But it is kind of amazing that there's still that threat out there.
Yeah.
Because what's going to come kill email? The thing that everybody has on their phones right now. It'll evolve more likely than it will die.
Yeah, and even SMS or text or chat, that we had that little craze for a while. It's an environment where you have a direct relationship with people, but it's not well attuned for rich content. You know, you know, you can throw a link to send someone somewhere else, but more and more we're publishing content in the email, you know, to a greater degree. But to your point, Jared, it's not just the major growth of email newsletters and email in general in the last 5 to 7 years, but just in the last year, what we're seeing with ConvertKit's sponsor network, right? So ConvertKit will now be able to place sponsorships in your email newsletter. But I'm more excited about the flip side of that. So I want to place ads in email newsletters because I want email people. Why would I go to Facebook and try to get someone to sign up for an email or to Instagram? And people have been doing it for 10 years and they've been doing it successfully. I think that is less effective than it used to be, and it may become even less effective with an algorithmic shift. But you know, you want people on your email list that are people who subscribe to email. And so you've got that partner network. Sparkloop has a couple of interesting things. They have their own email partner network, but also the way they're doing it is really interesting, which goes back to what we used to do in the old days in the late 90s called co-registration, where one publisher effectively promotes other publishers. So what Sparkloop is adding is, you know, once someone opts in, they get a pop-up message that says, would you also like to subscribe to these related publications? And as a publisher, you can control who those are, but you get paid whatever they're willing to pay per subscriber. And you've already got something called SwapStack. I've been playing with that for the last year. We've used them as a source of email sponsorships at Further. But again, I'm much more interested in being the advertiser because, as we'll explore in coming weeks, the best way to build an audience in 2022 requires advertising. And that's something we didn't do, you know, at Copyblogger. We made it to 8 figures without advertising. That's amazing. It doesn't even make sense, does it, Jared? That's why it no longer works. It was a particular point in time called Web 2.0 that just things don't work the same way anymore. But that's okay because we've gotten the whole point of the playbook and the 7-figure small podcast is new strategies for building, you know, attracting an audience that builds a business. And that's what we're in dire need of right now. Because you got people saying, just create content and just advertise on Facebook. And I'm like, dude, how do you sleep at night? I don't think people are really being awful. They're just doing, they're teaching what worked for them. So if I were to do that, I'd be teaching, you know, Web 2.0 early copy blogger stuff that I couldn't do that because who doesn't know that's changed? I hope. Everyone out there, that's changed. We'll have more in an upcoming episode.
So you're saying
except for email. Email is
except
perennial.
For email. Email is rules. The one constant. Yeah. That should be the title of this. Email is the one constant.
That's right.
So you're saying we're not going to release a new Grammar Goofs infographic on unemployable.com?
You know, I don't even think that got us lots of links. That was an SEO strategy. That's the other thing. People didn't realize why we were doing what we were doing with content.
Yep.
You know, I was Mr. Audience First, but that was a unique time to attract a ton of links and rank really well for a lot of competitive search terms, you know, and now you've got people still cranking out content. Google has changed. The search engine results are more competitive. There's less of them on the first page, and yet people are following the same playbook. I think this is a good time to pitch you on our email newsletter, which is called The Playbook. And it
ironically
is all
enough,
about new strategies for attracting an audience that builds your business. Yes, email is at the center of it all, but how you go about that will be fodder for upcoming episodes and all sorts of other exciting things that we've got going on. So thanks for being here. Trudy, thank you. Jared.
Ryan. Jared.
All right.
People
we'll
listening.
See you next week. Take care. Keep going.
I want to bring back Grammar Goofs. Honestly,
Grammar Goose is awesome.
Just like it's way sexier than Kim's ass. Like, bring
it was always so funny looking in the Copyblogger analytics, and Grammar Goof would be like fourth in traffic. constantly.
I know. We milked that grammar. It was so funny because it would always go wildly viral. And then the fights in the comment section were just hilarious. You had the grammar Nazis on one side, then you had the languages and evolution people on the other side, and they're just like, bam, bam, and I'm just sitting there popcorn.
It's better than a sex tape, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway.